Again, it's a blessing to be here. Thankful for the prayer that Brother Darrell publicly offered on our behalf, and would ask that you might continue to pray for the service, that the Lord would bless the reading of his word and he would bless us to hear it and to benefit from it. The thoughts that I had on my mind last week continue to be on my mind to some extent. We'll try to go in a little bit different direction, but last Sunday I tried to speak from 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know, when you read the first five verses of that chapter, it reminds you of a people who we don't associate ourselves with, as though that we don't have any of those problems. But I believe that those verses are an indicator to us that if we become conformed to the world, if we don't become transformed, if we don't separate ourselves from the world, some of these explanations here can be us. We can become as this, as these folks are here. It says that in the last days, you know, and that was from the time of the apostles till I believe the Lord Jesus Christ comes, and certainly we're closer to that day today than we were at the end of the apostolic age. But it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, these verses are not speaking about the wicked. These verses are giving us an example that if we become more and more conformed to this world, these are the things that will exemplify who we are. I believe that. It says, it begins, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be lovers of their own selves. You know, things have changed over the course of time a lot, and I know we're all familiar with that, and sometimes we don't want to feel like that we have changed. I made a point last week about change and it being from the standpoint of we age, we get older, there are things going on in our lives that we have absolutely no control over. Those changes we can't do anything about. You know, some people go to doctors and have plastic surgery. They do all kinds of things. They dye their hair. They put on veneers on their teeth. They do everything in the world to look good, to be pretty. But inside, we're like an old well motor engine that I used to run. We're wearing out. I don't care how good you look on the outside and how good a picture you may paint, age is taking care of us. And we're not going to be able to prevent that from happening. But there are changes in our life, and I believe it's in the mind and the way we think and what we fill our minds with that can make a difference. And if you read 2 Timothy chapter 2, that's exactly what was under consideration in the church, where there was great error going on and there was a lot of deception going on. But this can happen not only in the local church, but among God's people, as we see here in a nation. Notice it says, they shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. You know, we know that some of those things are true even among God's people today, that children far more are disobedient to their parents, I believe, today as a whole in our society than they were 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. So we've seen change in that area. It says they're without natural affection. You know, a lot of people, we see more hatred in this country today than we probably have ever recognized or noticed in our lifetimes. Now, we view things from our own eyes, generally in the time frame that you and I have lived. But the Bible is written from the beginning of time until today and however long you and I may live. But sometimes we judge how things are and how they're going to be by the period or the window of time in which you and I live. And, you know, having lived nearly 60 years, if I make it another week, that's the time frame that I seem to judge life in, because that's all I know. But we have the only, the word of the only true and living God, the truth set before us that goes way down the road before we ever showed up on the scene and continues to teach us what can happen to us going forward. And as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. So what is happening today is not something that has never happened before. It happened, and if we're not careful, it happens again. And we're giving these warnings and these examples throughout the Bible. You know, I declared unto you, and I will, that Paul declared in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's no power in that to the non-believer. Did you know that? The unbeliever finds no power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the Jew first, and to the Greek, which is everyone, the rest of it. If you're not a Jew, you're a Greek or a Gentile. It means the same thing. But there's a power of God in the gospel to the believer, to everyone that believeth. And we'll look at that here a little more as we go along. But that power enables us to not be conformed to this world or to separate ourselves from this world, as we talked about last week. It says, without natural affection, go on to finish this, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, furious, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, full of pride, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It goes on, it says, for having a form of godliness, they declare to be God's children. They may go to church, but they deny that God has the power to bring judgment upon a people or to do anything. You know, you hear in the world, if you turn on the TV, most of the preaching today preaches a God who only loves you, a God who would never chasten you, a God who wants you to have the best of the best, and nothing will ever go wrong in your life. But that's not the God of the Bible. You know, all you got to do is read about Paul. All you got to do is read about some of the greatest patriarchs of the Bible, and they had troubles just like you and I do. Nothing any different. They had problems to deal with in their families, in their work, in the society in which they lived. There's nothing new under the sun. So we're not unique in that situation. We're not in a different period. You know, a lot of people believe we live in the year of 2018, and, you know, they just didn't get it back then. They just don't understand how we are. But the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah made that statement, and that statement is as true today as it ever was. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because God's mercy is everlasting, we're not consumed. Because God doesn't change. And think, if you ever pray to God, thank God that he never changed. Your only hope of going to heaven is the fact that the God that you and I serve is an unchanging God. Sin before our God is the same, and his promises will be kept until the very end, because he does not change. His work is perfect. If God is perfect in his thoughts, his work, and his being, then his promises are perfect. His ways are perfect. Whether we abide by his ways or follow his ways, they are perfect. It says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, there's something different about the child of God. There really is. You have something in you, a power in you, that not every human being has. You have the power to believe that there is a God in heaven who you've never seen with your naked eyes, or I don't believe you have, I haven't, who you've never touched with your hands, and yet you have a hope, you have an earnest expectation, you have something dwelling in your heart and soul that tells you that the God you serve and the God you love and the God you hope to live through eternity with is real. He's not something you're fantasizing about. He's not something that is not real. He's not fictitious. He is the only true and living God. You know, Christianity is so different than all the other religions of the world. It's a peaceful religion, a religion built around love. It's not built around hatred. It's not built around violence. You know, many of the pagan religions are built around violence. Violence is their number one goal. If you do not convert to their way of thinking, they want to kill you, put you to death. Now, I'm not saying they're all that way, but Christianity is far different. And it's unique in the fact that Jesus Christ, being the Son of God manifest in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh, he left us an example, and it's not an example that men by nature can have an easy time following. You know, we're an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. When Jesus was crucified, when Jesus was arrested, he opened not his mouth. Many lessons that are taught to us about the example of Jesus Christ are at our, within our grasp of being that way and living that way. They really are. It's not that hard. It says in, as we go over into John, we find whosoever believeth, John chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I want you to realize what that verse says. You know, the King James Version of the Bible is the Bible that has the ETH on the end of words. It doesn't say whosoever will believe, whosoever believeth. It's in the present tense in the passive voice. Do you know what that means? That means that the person being spoken of here is already born of the Spirit of God. It's not speaking to someone that will be born. The passive voice means that person was passive when that came to pass. You know, Romans said that the power of God is available to every, Paul said in Romans 1:16, it's available to everyone that believeth. to the Jew first and to the Greek also. You know, that tells me that if you're a non-believer, if you're an infidel, the gospel of Jesus Christ has no power and is of no benefit to you. And I believe that's the truth. I believe that's what the Bible tells us. And the examples that we're giving of those who are unbelievers, who do not believe in the Bible, are for our benefit, because we have a tendency, having a human nature, a sin nature, to walk in that path a lot of times, to gravitate in that direction. It's natural. Nothing comes more natural than sin. You know, and so even being born of the Spirit of God, we gravitate in that direction because it is so natural for us to sin. Nobody trained you to sin. Nobody sent you to college and sent you to school to teach you how to sin. There is nothing in your life that will become more natural to you than sinning. So therefore, when we're born of the Spirit of God, sin is still an ongoing problem in our life. Is it not? The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other. They're contrary. There's a contrast. They don't go together. They don't get along together. They don't desire what one desires. The flesh doesn't desire the things of the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't desire the things of the flesh. So that you cannot do the things that you would do. You cannot do those things. We have that battle going on. Now, Paul said over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? What is his exceeding power to usward who believe? It says it's according. It's in agreement with his mighty working power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you realize that the person who is dead in trespasses and sins, he does not have the power to believe on the Son of God? You know, most people in the world believe that's just your choice. If you decide one day to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll do it. But I'll tell you right now, there were numbers of folks that seen him do miracles and do things that no man had ever done. They still didn't believe. You know, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Why did some of the dead hear and some of the dead not hear? You know, I could go out to the graveyard and speak to every dead person in there, not one of them would respond. But you know, some of the dead responded to Jesus because he spoke to them. He spoke to them in particular, just as he spoke to Lazarus. He is a personal God. He spoke to them personally. He called them out of darkness. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? It's in accordance. It's according to the mighty working of his power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you know it took the same power to resurrect a body from the earth, from the grave of Lazarus, that it did to resurrect you from death and trespasses and sins? The same power it took. And once you've been resurrected and brought to life in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have something in you. You have a power in you to change your life. Paul said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." In that verse, it tells me that a Christian can either conform himself to this world or he can be transformed. We talked about change last week, things that we couldn't change, our age, the weather. I mean, there are absolute things in this life that you and I have no control over. But Paul said that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That means how we think, what we fill our minds with. You know, we live in a time where there's less folks go to church, and we all know that. I'm so thankful for you being here today. There's a commandment that God gives. He says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some." It's not something that God said you ought to do or you might want to do. God commands us to gather with our brothers and sisters to worship him. This is not just some good information that we could take hold of if we so desire. God calls upon his people to come together in unison to worship his holy and righteous name. That's what we were created for. But you see, when we read those verses in 2 Timothy, we have a tendency, if we're not careful, if we don't change our way of thinking, if we don't change what we fill our minds with, of gravitating toward the world. Everybody wants to be like everybody else. You know, we find over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, the same Paul that wrote in Romans 12, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. What does it mean for the Christian to be separate? It means to separate yourselves from the majority of folks and what they're doing in life. Because even though you may not immediately begin to do what they do, but Proverbs tells us you cannot walk on hot coals and not be burned. My grandfather used to tell me you can't play in the dirt and not get dirty. You know, we sometimes think that we can put one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, but Jesus said it's impossible to serve him in that manner. So many of us tried. I've tried it myself. Being conformed to this world is easy to do. And when we become lovers of our own selves, or we love pleasures more than we love God, or we become boasters and high-minded, and all these things that were spoken of there, they're examples of God's people who have become conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing. Renovation is what renew means. It means to renovate. It means we need to get rid of the way we think. You know, we make a difference in this world. We can make a difference in our lives. But I tell you, it's got to begin with changing the way we think. Because there's a lot of things we can't change. We can't change, most of us can't change where we live. We can't change our jobs very often because we need to make a living. We certainly can't change the aging process. We can't change the weather. You know, and it seems as though we can't change the thoughts in our government and all these kinds of things going on. But there are things that we can change. The way we think about life. The things that we fill our mind with. I tell you, we have information available at the fingertips, as I said last week. At the push of a button, you've got more information available today than most people have ever had available instantly. And a lot of that information is not beneficial. A lot of it clutters our minds. It begins to cause us to gravitate or stray in the direction of this world. Let's read these five verses here in 1 John chapter 5. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's an evidence. If you've already believing in God, it ain't what made you a child of God. It's an evidence that you are a child of God. It's an evidence that you are a child of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him that is also begotten. And everyone that loves the God of heaven loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on and said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You know, I'll be the first to admit to you, keeping the commandments of God is not easy. But God says it's not grievous, it's not burdensome, it's not irksome, it's not something that's impossible for you and I to do. I believe that. Now that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and sometimes we tend to have a tendency to tell ourselves that we can't keep from sinning. It's hard. It's hard. And the more we're around folks that are, the easier it is to continue sinning. And that's why it says, come out from among them and be separate. To be separate is to be different. Separate ourselves from the world or from the things that are going on that cause us to stray away from the Lord. We can change the way we think. We can change what we fill our minds with. And we certainly desire to have a better life. And we'll look at some of those things, how we can change. It's not impossible. You know, anything that's good, anything that is gain is a benefit. You know, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. That means there's not a Scripture in the Old Testament or the New Testament that will not be a benefit to you and I. Did you know that? But you got to read them. You got to use them. You got to fill your mind with them. You got to apply the teachings that God give us to our lives if we want to make a difference. You know, as few as we may be, we can make a big difference in the world. We really can. Sometimes we don't believe that, but when we honor God, when we bring glory to his name, I tell you, God will bless us in a special way. I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Bible teaches that. He goes on here and he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it's the gift of God. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been given the gift of faith. when God used resurrection power on you who were dead in trespasses and sins and made you alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You were given the gift of faith, the ability to believe upon the God of heaven, the ability to believe that one day we will live in His presence forever, and that the troubles you and I have to identify with every day will exist no longer. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I could state that over and over and over, and that will be the greatest day of our life. A lot of folks think, well, passing from this life is going to be a terrible thing. But I tell you, life begins when you pass. You know, we don't die. David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The Bible says death is a sting. When we open our eyes in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, life will be in full. It'll fully begin, you know. But life here is a blessing, and we're to live it to our fullest. You know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's how it should be for every one of us, to live our lives to honor Christ, and when we die, we're going to gain. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be a gain. Whether we live to Christ in the best that we can, it's going to be gain. He goes on here in verse 5, and he says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believeth, that tells me, if you truly believe that you're born of the Spirit of God, you had the God of heaven exercise His omnipotent power on you, raise you from death and trespasses and sins to life in Christ, you were passive in this action. Whosoever believeth, in the present tense, in the passive voice. But I tell you right now, to change our minds, to not be conformed to this world, to come out from among them and be separated, takes action from us. We're active in that work. We're not just going to wake up one morning and not have the sins and the troubles and the things that cause us problems in this life to exist no more with us. They're there and they'll be there till we're called home to be with the Lord. They will have a tendency to cause us to stray, to tempt us, along with Satan and all his works. You can read the end of 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're told that Satan takes folks at his will. He does, deceiving and being deceived. Deception is a great thing. People believe today that going to the house of the Lord is not important. I can serve the Lord in the pasture. I can serve the Lord in the house. I can do whatever I want to, but that's not what God says, is it? Are we interested in what God says, or are we interested in how we feel? I'm interested in what the Lord says. The Lord says we can change. We can change how we think. We can change what we fill our minds with. And we're going to go through some of them here just for a few minutes, and we're going to find out that we can separate ourselves. It'll make a great difference in our lives and in the lives of our churches and our communities. We go over to Romans chapter 12. You know, Jesus in Mark chapter 9, we all know the story of the father whose son was having all kinds of trouble. He was throwing himself into the fire. He was foaming at his mouth. It was like someone that had epilepsy or had seizures. And the disciples couldn't cast out the devil that was in this young man, and he came to Jesus. And Jesus told his father, if thou canst believe. That tells me that we have a lot of trouble believing. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. To the child of God that's born of the Spirit of God, that has had the Spirit planted in them, there are things possible in our lives that are not possible in the lives of other people. You know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. There's a lot in this world that you and I can't do. We can't change the way we think. We can't change what we fill our minds with without the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, for without me you can do nothing. You sure can't change the way you think and the way you live and make God the most important thing in your life. You know, I get amazed, and we see life, passing by so fast, and James tells us that it's going to be that way. Our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. You know, one generation cometh, another generation passeth away, but the word The earth abideth forever. The word of God abides forever. You know, generations come, generations go. We've seen that through the course of our life and through the history of the Bible, and yet sometimes we lose sight of that. We're just here for a little while. Abraham said, this is not our home. I'll state it again. Don't drive your stakes too deep because you're not going to be here very long. He said, we're just pilgrims passing through. That's what we are. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. Heaven is our home, not this place. We're just passing through. And it won't be long till we have an opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives us that earnest expectation and that great hope that we have. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Isn't that amazing? It just tells us how weak our belief is. You know, we believe in Jesus Christ. I think everyone here believes that Jesus came, that he went to the cross of Calvary, that he was nailed to that cross, and your sins were nailed to the cross with him. But yet, we're not sure if we believe everything he says about the life in which we're living today. Can we change? It's going to take some concerted effort. It's going to take changing the way you think, and it's going to take the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul didn't say, I can do some things on my own, and other things I need the help of the Lord. He said, I can do all things through Christ. That tells me when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to serving the Lord, we need the Lord Jesus Christ in every act. Jesus said in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. He is the vine and we're the branches. And without the vine, the branch can do nothing. Sever the vine from the branch and the vine will be trotted down under the feet of men, cast in the fire to be burned. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot be transformed. We cannot be separated from the world. It's impossible. That's how strong sin is that's in this world and within us. But there is a power within the child of God that can help him change. It begins by praying to the Lord. Help me, Lord, change the way I think. Help me, Lord, change the areas that I think about and what I fill my mind with. Let's just notice what the apostle says, Paul, over in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. This can make a difference in our lives if we really put it into play, if we really apply it to our life. You know, the Bible tells us to forgive people. Some people say, I can't forgive. Bible says I can do all things. Paul said I can do all things through Christ. I don't believe there's anything impossible for you to do. From forgiving to changing the way you think or any other thing that we're commanded to do in the Word of God with the help of Jesus Christ. That is the power that is dwelling within every child of God. We notice here in verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, let the love you have for your wife and for your children and for your husband and for your brothers and sisters in Christ be sincere. Not be unfeigned love, but be real. Love in action, love that means something. It goes on and says, be kindly affectioned one to another. You know, that's something that's being lost in the land in which we live. You know, people don't have affection for each other anymore. Matter of fact, there's more hatred in the country as a whole than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Just because you don't agree with somebody, they hate you. You know, we used to be a country that could agree to disagree and have some compromise and get along, but hatred has risen up in a way that I have never seen it. And as we read from 2 Timothy, it said evil men will wax worse and worse. The Bible tells us that man will get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're not getting better, we're getting worse. And we need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ working in our everyday life to bring about change in us. That'll be a reflection and example for others. As I stated last Sunday, and most folks don't take any light to this, I don't care who you are in this congregation or where you live in the world or where you live in society, you're an example to someone. Everything you do is an example to someone. It's an example to your husband, example to your wife, to your children, to your grandchildren. They're looking at what you're doing. They know what's important to you. They know where your importance is in life. You're an example whether you want to be one or not. That's just how we are. We're examples to folks. They see how we walk, how we talk, and how we live. What's important to us? All these things in life, in every aspect of life, you and I are examples to someone in the way that we live. It says, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That means when we change the way we think, we're far more concerned about others than we are ourselves. Remember what it said over in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Be lovers of our own selves. That's a picture of going in the wrong direction. It's always been a problem. You know, man has never had a problem loving himself, but he's had a problem loving others more than himself. You know, that's why people don't come to church. They have a problem loving themselves more, and a lot of times more than they love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the truth. It is. If you love the Lord, you put him first, then you put yourself on the back burner. But it says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. We find that. It says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, the Bible commands us to pay respect to everyone that has the rule and authority over us, whether we like what they do. You know, that goes from the President of the United States to the boss we have at our job. It doesn't say you respect them if you like them. It says you respect them. There is respect in the office, and we respect them because God commanded us to respect them, not because we appreciate everything they've done or we go about saying everything they've done was right. That's what the Lord tells us to do. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. So if we're arguing or fighting, we're fighting against God, not against me, not against men, but against what God says. It says, rejoicing in hope. You know, I believe that, and many of these things, I'm telling you right now, are things that I need to work on. These are the things that we have a hope in us that a lot of folks don't have. And no matter what's going on in our lives, we need to rejoice in hope. For we serve the God of all hope. Notice in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There is something dwelling in you that should bring you to the point of rejoicing every day. You know, life is tough. In this world ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. In Jesus, we can get along. Doesn't mean we won't have any troubles. Paul asked the Lord to take all his troubles away from him. You know, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He asked to have that thorn removed 3 times, and Jesus wouldn't remove it. Jesus is not going to remove all our troubles. That's just a fact. But Jesus said, I will make a way for you to get through it. And the whole lesson in that teaching was, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The weaker you become in this world, the more trouble you have, the more you will fall on your knees and pray to God, God, be merciful unto me. Help me out of this situation. That's when we go to God in our weakest times and our greatest need. You know, we'd all like to live a life with no trouble, but trouble is a part of life. It says, rejoicing, continuing constant, be constant in prayer. We need to continue instant in prayer, instantly praying all the time to the one that has the ability to help us transform our lives, that we may seek what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what Paul told us in Romans chapter 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renovate the way you think about things. I mean, there's nothing more important in our life than Jesus Christ. He goes on and he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints. That's helping one another. That's helping God's people wherever they might be in need. Whether it be a word of encouragement, whether it be food or money or whatever's necessary, that should be one of the things that we're after, whether it's just taking time to visit. You know, the funny thing that we find here is, that Paul said, not really funny, but interesting. As you begin Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable about it. You know, in the Old Testament, we were told to, or that they were told to offer up sacrifices, but they killed every sacrifice. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ calls on you to be a living sacrifice. It means to yield yourself. That's when we can change the way we think, and what we fill our minds with is when we yield to God, when we yield unto the power that dwells within us. And we don't fight against that power. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Boy, that goes against man's natural tendency, doesn't it? People that curse you, do you bless them? Do you thank them? Do you pray for them? We're told to love thine enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your heavenly Father, that you may be known as God's children. You know, Jesus Christ was different than any man that ever lived. Not only was he the creator of the heavens and the earth, he didn't live like these other men. He wasn't like these pagan religions, violent. He was the picture of peace and of love and of joy. And that's the example he left to us. And that's how we can make a difference in life, by filling our minds with what the Lord said we ought to fill them with. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. When your brothers and sisters or families rejoice, we need to rejoice with them regardless of what it is to rejoice over. And when they're weeping, we all weep at times in life. Weep with them and be there to mourn with them and console them and to help them through their difficulties. Be of the same mind one to another. You know, in the early church, they were of one accord and one mind. The mind has a lot to do in this chapter. We need to renew the mind, renovate it. We need to think different. That is something that we can change. That's something that God's people can change, because if we don't, we're allowing the world to change us day by day, little by little. As I told folks years ago when I was a kid, I thought there was a waste of money spent on all these advertisements. Why in the world they spend millions of dollars advertising? But if they put a picture in front of you long enough, it won't be long. Whatever's on that picture, you got to have some of it. You'll go get some of it. It works. It has an effect on us, whether we believe it or not. And the things we're around has an effect upon us. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to the men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Go down to men of low estate. Don't be mighty and high and proud and boasting. Recompense to no man evil for evil. This is a tough one. When somebody does you wrong, you want to get back at them. But that's not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when they reviled him, he didn't revile back. He submitted himself to the one that judgeth righteously, to the heavenly Father. That's how you and I ought to do. When we're done wrong, We don't recompense evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. These are things that we can do. This is how we can change the way we think. This is what we can fill our minds with. And we can make a big difference in this world. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. You know, we so often don't give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, we often want to repay someone for the wrongs that they've done to us, but would you want God to repay you for the wrongs you've done to him? We'll ask for mercy and beg for it every time, I promise you, because we don't want what we deserve. We want mercy. We want mercy every time. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. That's easy, hard to do. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt reap coals of fire upon his head. You know, most folks want to fight with you when they're your enemy. But when you do good things to them that you're enemy, it bothers them more than if you'd have fought with them. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. These are the things that we need to fill our mind with. These are the things that we need to think upon, with things that we can change. You know, we're told in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I'll read a few verses in the fourth chapter, and we'll close on these verses. In chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. And we talked about the changing of the mind, that the changing the way we think, that is something that you can change in your life. And we can be more like Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You got a whole list of things to think about right there. They're not on the bad side or the negative side of life. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is how we change and not be conformed to this world. We have to think more like Jesus thought. Because the world will tell you every day how to think about every situation and circumstance that comes across to you. And they won't tell you to overcome evil with good, I'll assure you. They'll tell you to give them what they got coming to them. That's what the world will tell you. They don't deserve pity. They don't deserve compassion. And they don't deserve mercy. Aren't you thankful that the God that you and I serve is a God whose mercies are new every morning, a God whose compassions fail not? That's the God that you and I serve. But God who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, not only in heaven, but today, and to make a difference in a world that has a tendency to be drawn to the dark side of things. And God's children do too. That's why we have so many warnings in the Word of God and so many teachings to recognize when we begin to gravitate in that direction, when we begin to think like the world, when we begin to become conformed to the world. And the more that you and I are together and the more that we talk about the things of the Lord, the more that we can not talk about the things of the world. May God bless us to do that in the days and the months and the years that we are together until the Lord comes and takes us home to be with him. I thank you this morning for your kind attention and pray that the Lord's word will be a blessing to you. I know that changing is not easy, especially the way we think and the way we feel, but we can do all things through Christ. We can make a difference. Jesus Christ is the most important thing in your life, whether you recognize it or not. There is nothing more important, not your family, not your job, because it won't be long till you know your candle has gone out and you've gone from this life. So as Abraham said, we're pilgrims. Always keep that in mind. This is not our home. We're nomads. May God bless us to keep those things in mind, to have that mind which was in Christ Jesus.